Welcome to the Jonathan Shuttlesworth podcast. To stay connected, go to revivaltoday.com. And now, here is Evangelist Jonathan.
John 3:16. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever," that means anybody, "anyone that believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. For God did not," this is the second verse that then they don't read that much. "God did not send his Son into the world to condemn it, but so the world through him might be saved." Once more, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn it." I want to have you repeat stuff all night like a parakeet, but say this with me. God didn't send his Son in the world to condemn me. You know, believe it or not, that's been the biggest battle I've had to fight in the ministry, is when you invite people to come to church, they think, "No, I know you like me. I know we're friends. You know, I met him at a store or the gym. But if I go there, I bet you God will strike me dead." And I have to tell him, if God wanted to strike you dead, you'd already be dead. He doesn't have to wait till you get on Assemblies of God church property to kill you. He owns the whole world. But God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn it, but he sent his Son so the world through him might be saved. God's not looking to kill people. He's looking to make them alive. And the Bible says there, God so loved, not the church. There was no church to love at that point. God so loved people, all people, no matter who they are. In fact, the Bible says we can all be saved in this same manner, no matter who we are or what we've done. I'm not going to break my promise, but at least say one more thing with me. Say, no matter who I am or what I've done. So people, and then the Bible says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish. Well, there is an effort to kill people. And the author of that effort, I told you, God's not looking to kill you, but there is somebody who is looking to kill you. And he is very crafty at slapping people and killing people and getting them to think it's God. It's like religion ignores this second character that's in the Bible called the devil. And Jesus did not ignore him. John 10:10, the Bible says, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come that you might have and have it more abundantly." Pastor Dean, that I gave you the privilege to get to see him and have him pray for you. He has one of the most impactful churches. I'm not saying this because he's here, because I'm not big on lying. I'm saying it because it's the truth. He has one of the most impactful churches in the entire state of New Mexico. And the name of the church is Choose Life Church. When you walk up in big letters, it says Choose Life. He took that from John 10:10. The thief cometh not. The devil has a will. And his will is threefold. To steal. So anything you've lost in life. There's a famous preacher from Los Angeles that's in heaven now. And he hated God. He went to jail before he became a minister because people flip it around in religion. His son was hit by a car and died. And at the funeral, he was a very young boy. The priest said God needed another flower for his garden, so he took this boy. And he said, "I thought to myself at a young age, if God did that, I don't want anything to do with that God. But if that priest knew the Bible, he would have told him," and I'm not taking shots at Catholics. It wasn't a Catholic priest. It was an Episcopal priest. They screw this up in every denomination almost. That it's not God looking to kill people, but there is a devil that's looking to make people's lives miserable. There was no problem in the Garden of Eden. There'll be no problem in heaven. And it's both for the same reason. The character that messes everything up. The one that sows division. Think of it. What's the first thing you see the devil doing in the Bible? There's a perfect Garden of Eden, and he comes to Eve and says, did God say that if you eat the fruit of this tree, you'll perish? Go ahead and eat it and you'll live. He comes to sow division, to get people thinking on the wrong track. And then when they go down the wrong road, they reap the bad things that go down that wrong road. And then the thing I love about God, he didn't just say the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He didn't say, well, if these people want to believe the devil, good, then they can have whatever they want. I'm going to leave them alone. I'll burn this place to the ground and make a new earth with a new race of people. He didn't do that. He sent his son Jesus to die to undo what the devil wanted to do in people's lives. And so, I normally don't say this, and I hope you don't think I'm nuts, but the more I watch the news, they make you sound like you're a lunatic if you believe the Bible at all, so I might as well tell you the stories I used to not tell anyway. Why do you do a meeting like this? Why book a room and invite people in to hear the Bible? Because at 8 years old, minding my own business, I went to my bedroom to change, put my pajamas on like my mother told me, and when I bent over and looked up, there was an angel on the other side of the bed, only one I've seen before or since. And the angel said, Jonathan, God has reserved you for this last period of time to be an evangelist, to call men and women who are now in darkness into the light. For soon it will be eternally too late. Do you understand? And I said, yes. Now, that was 19, and the angel left. And I had something changed in me that day where I knew what I was going to do. People that are now in darkness. Well, if people are in darkness, how do you clear them out of it? The Bible calls itself the light. The light of God's word. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So when people don't know the truth, they live in darkness. They have wrong ideas that keep them bound. I was preaching in Massachusetts, and I had a totally different message planned out. This is a few years ago. And all of a sudden, I started saying something different. I said, you know, like the story I told about Dr. Fred Price. I said, how can somebody, I just said this out of the blue. I wasn't even preaching on it. I said, if a child dies, what idiot does the funeral and tells people it's God that did it? Then I told some of the scriptures I just told you. And I said, it's not God who causes tragedy. God's looking to alleviate tragedy. Can you say amen? And I talked like that for a while. And then when I finished my message, I gave an altar call. And one lady came up. And she waited for me after. She said, thank you. I said, how long have you been going to church here? She said, I don't go to church here. I don't go to church at all. She said, my child died and I was angry at God. And I drove by this church on my way to work. And I said, God, how could you allow this to happen? If you love people, why would this happen? And I heard a voice say, go to that church on Tuesday night. And so she went. And when she went, as soon as she sat down, I'm not from Massachusetts, my wife is, she sat down and I started just out of the blue, addressing her situation, I felt to say it. That's called the Holy Spirit. That God didn't want that lady. See, the Bible says the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He stole her son. Then he was going to use that death to make her angry and get her on a wrong road. And before long, the devil can take a whole family out. But the joy of preaching is that people that are being destroyed can hear one word from the Lord and it take them out of darkness and bring them into the light. California, along with the rest of America, the only hope for this place is not going to come from a political party. There needs to be mothers and fathers and grandparents and college students and youth that see the truth of God's word, that you're not here to be on drugs and take a pill to go to sleep and a pill to get through the day. God so loved you that he sent his only begotten son, that anybody that believes in him will not perish, not might not perish, will not perish, but have everlasting life. And I want to tell you on this Monday night, the crowd is down from last night, so I can pray for you longer. You matter to God. The individuals that are here, you matter to God. Whatever you've gone through, I have a simple message tonight. I'm not going to preach long. I have a simple message that whatever's gone wrong, it's not God. God's not trying to teach you a lesson. God doesn't teach through destruction. I don't watch, my daughter's 11 now, but when she was 5, I don't watch her go near a hot iron or a hot stove and say to my wife, hey, just watch, wait till she puts her hand on that thing. That'll teach her not to touch it because she'll get burned. No proper parent, you go to jail for that in most states. You don't teach through burning your child, and God doesn't teach through sickness and tragedy. Every lesson God wants to teach you, he has in his word for you. I have an expectation tonight that whatever's gone wrong in your life, this week is going to be a shower of blessing from heaven to turn everything around for your good in Jesus' name. Well, if you believe that with me, go ahead and do what you're already doing. Clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God. Let God know you believe him, that he's going to do something for you. Now, that sounds overly simplistic. If I was coming to a hotel like this and some guy I never knew that I got a Facebook ad or whatever and I went to see him, I would say, I I'm not saying I don't believe you, but if you knew what I went through the last 15 years or 7 years, some people 30 years, Bible says in John chapter 5, there was a man who had been crippled in his feet from birth and had never walked for 38 years. When you go through something for almost 4 decades, it's hard for somebody to get up in a blue pinstripe suit and tell you, I'm going to pray and everything's going to turn around. That's why we have in the Christian church what's called testimonies. The Bible says they overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimonies. So I like to collect testimonies because there's people that when you hear them, you can tell they're not paid. You can tell they're not faking it. And I heard when I left Los Angeles after January, I went to Vancouver, British Columbia, up the road in Western Canada, up on the Pacific Ocean. One of the least church places in the entirety of North America. That church formed out of the story that you're going to hear right now. And I'll tell you the end of the story after you see the video. But I play this because if you hear me saying we're going to pray and God's going to turn everything around, you think, listen, buddy, I've been going to therapy. I'm on that. I believe you that you believe in what you do, but my case is different. Actually, that's one of the bondages that Satan uses to keep people from having a miracle. My case is special. Things are difficult. I'm going to tell you, as difficult a situation as you might be going through, when you crack this Bible open, you are not dealing with a God that has limited power. You're dealing with a God who created the whole world in 6 days and will never need more than one day to sort a person out. I'm going to tell you in advance, I feel great faith in this room. I keep remembering why I came back to California, because the people of California are great people. God loves California. God loves the people of California. Hallelujah. Man, I feel good. It might be the In-N-Out burger talking, but I feel good. I feel good. They got better food here than the rest of the country. Amen. The only state where if you try to sell the food in the other 49 states here, you have to put a warning label on it that this does not meet California standards. They take their food seriously here. I'm going to tell you right up front on this Monday as we enter into this great week of meetings. If you're looking for some preacher to come from the East Coast and tell you how much God hates California and God's going to dump this place in the ocean with an earthquake and God's going to burn it to the ground, you got the wrong preacher. I came to tell the people of California that enough's enough. The devil's been slapping this place around long enough. God has a plan for the people of California to be blessed in Jesus' name. I tell you unequivocally, get ready for the best week that you've ever had in Jesus' mighty name. If you believe that with me, go ahead and rejoice and be glad. This is a very sharp, very wealthy lady that was this close to killing herself. And she's going to tell you what happened. And I'm playing this to show you what God can do. Because what I'm preaching, I'm not preaching it in ignorance of what people go through. I'm preaching it fully aware of the hell people go through. But hell is not greater than heaven. And the devil's not greater than God. They're not even in the same equation. Jesus destroyed, the Bible says, not he will destroy. Jesus destroyed him openly on the cross. So there's no addiction. There's no trouble. There's nothing that has entered into your life that God won't do something about it before tonight. I pray when we finish, that In-N-Out burger down the street will be filled with the happiest Californians this side of the mental institution. You come out laughing, singing a new song like Sandra, saying, surely the Lord has done great things. If you believe that with me, go ahead and clap your hands one more time. Enjoy this testimony. Roll it.
I'm Sandra, and I am from Vancouver, British Columbia. I came across evangelist Jonathan Shuttlesworth on YouTube. This was 4 years ago in February. One of my friends sent me a YouTube video, and it was on fasting. So what had happened, what led to that was that as a child, I grew up Catholic. I was raised in a Catholic family and a Catholic home. And as a child, I was sexually abused for 5 years, almost every day. And that happened in the church, in a church setting. So when I grew up, I really believed, you know, that I'm not loved, and I don't deserve happiness, and I don't deserve, you know, to be loved by everybody around me. So I came to a point, this was in 2019, I came to a point where I thought, you know what, this is not working. This is not going anywhere. And this was like during Christmas time. And I thought, I'm gonna have to commit suicide because I don't want to be here. I don't want to feel this way. I don't want to make everybody that's around me feel this way. So I made plans, to jump off a bridge, to jump off Portman Bridge, which is a bridge here in Vancouver. I made sure that our life insurance was, suicide was covered, so that way they were able to be taken care of. I made sure that I took care of our finances as a family. So I have an email typed up that I was going to send to my husband that has all of our passwords and, like, you know, like birth certificates, marriage certificates, just things that he wouldn't know where to find in the house. And I was going to make sure that, you know, he would know what to do once it happened. And so I wanted to make a video for my boys so that way they know, you know, this is nothing to do with them. They didn't do anything, you know, that caused me to take my life. So I couldn't really bring myself to do it. We were having a fellowship group at my house, and one of my friends was there, and they had no idea what I was feeling and what I was going through. Nobody did around me. And so, she was fasting with her husband, and I thought, like, fasting, like, why are you fasting? Like, you're not Catholic. I thought it was a Catholic thing. And she shared with me, you know, what fasting does, and it's from the Bible. And I thought, okay, like, it can make things, you know, it can help you and it can change you. And I figured, you know what, like, I'm going to try it. It's a YouTube video of this guy that I can send you, and he'll explain it, he'll break it down, and you'll understand. And so I thought, okay, that's fine. So she sent it. And that's when she sent me Evangelist Jonathan's, YouTube channel and that video, the link to that video. So I watched the morning video, which is a broadcast that he was doing on the intro for 21 day fasting and prayer. And then it was the night service where, he started preaching on John 10:10, which is the thief comes to steal, kill and destroy, but I have come to give you life and give you life more abundantly. And he spoke on how if you've experienced, you know, tragedy, or if you've experienced trauma or anything that you've gone through in life, God is not the cause. And that Jesus loves you, and he wants to heal you, and he wants to deliver you, and he just went through it so well, and he explained it so well. And obviously, at that moment, I realized, you know, and he said, it's the enemy that comes that, you know, obviously causes what I went through, and then all the thoughts. So that night, at that night service, I gave my life to the Lord, and I went through the fast for 21 days. And I remember on the 21st day, we were in Mexico. We were having a family vacation. And prior to that, I mean, we've been married for 10 years. And prior to that, every family vacation was terrible because of obviously what I had gone through. And it was on the 21st day, we were sitting in Mexico, and my husband said, you know, this is probably, and he had no idea I was fasting. He had no idea what I was doing. And he's like, this is probably one of the best family vacations we've ever had. And so I explained what had happened, and, you know, and here we are. So after that, this was in February 2020. Obviously, you go through the lockdowns, so all of that happened. And in May, I got called into the ministry. I enrolled into Bible school, I think in September, and I completed that. I sold my business, and, you know, I've been in ministry since. I'm in ministry now, and, you know, praise God, all glory to God. And I'm so thankful for Evangelist Jonathan in the ministry, because God used him to save my life.
Isn't that awesome? Now, I've told you how that God can change your life. But then the Bible doesn't only tell you that God can change your life. It gives you 100%. The Bible has a scripture in it that might be the foundation of all the Bible. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should change his mind. If he spoke a thing, it will come to pass. If he said it, he'll carry it through. So this is not a collection of like nice stories and encouraging words. This is God's covenant deal with you. You know, I don't know. I'm 43 now, so I've been in this situation a few times where a lawyer or someone tells you, you signed this and these are the terms. That's how God takes this. This is his word to you. So they're not like to encourage you. You can actually, anything you read, God said in here, he's going to tell you what you'll do. If you do this, I will do this. Now, many times, churches will tell people the negative part. If you commit adultery, you will go to hell. That's true. God said that. But they leave out all the positive parts. Just like God tells you how life works. If you do this and don't repent, if you mess up, if you decide to live this way, if you murder people, all murderers will have their place in the lake of fire if you don't repent. They all emphasize that. But then they don't emphasize that there's a positive part too. That God didn't just say if you do this, there's punishment. There's a second part that if you'll do this, I will bless you. Hebrews 11:6. The Bible says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. For anybody that wants to come to him, one translation adds the word successfully. If anyone that wants to come to him successfully must have two things in place. They must believe that he is, and equally, and they, you're going to have trouble hearing many people tell you this. So it's good you came tonight because you'll at least hear it one time. Not only is he not looking to kill you, not as only is he not neutral about you, if anyone that wants to come to him must believe that he is and believe that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Without faith, faith gives you access to God. What is faith? I can help you understand what it is by helping you understand what it wouldn't be. How come Sandra, when she saw me on YouTube talking about prayer and fasting, didn't say, I don't want to listen to some preacher. Forget him. Where's God? And say something negative about God, slam her laptop shut, and continue typing out that email to go jump off the bridge. How come she didn't do that? How come when she heard it, she believed it, and then what was I preaching? He came. Jesus didn't come so people could make necklaces. Jesus didn't come so people could make statues. He came to give you life, and life more abundantly. Some of you were here last night. John 11:25. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. I am the life. They that believe in me, though they were dead, not addicted, dead. Dead is worse than addicted. In fact, the reason people fear addiction is because it leads to what? Yeah, death is worse than cancer. The reason people fear cancer is it leads to what? So when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, it wasn't because he was bored one afternoon and was looking for something to do. He was showing that even if somebody is 4 days dead, I am the resurrection, I am the life. They that believe in me, though they were dead, yet shall they live. I tell you again in Los Angeles, wherever you're watching in the world tonight, that's why I like having those cameras there. I never met Sandra till 2 years after that happened. And I flipped my laptop on. That was actually the only broadcast I've ever done. If you watch the broadcast that she watched, that got her to quit suicide, it's the crappiest broadcast we ever did. It was December 30th. My wife was out with my daughter doing something, going to like a craft store, and I stayed home. And so I was sitting there. I was going to watch hockey. And then I thought, this just came to me. Like it came to me that night in Massachusetts about saying the thing about God. Pop your laptop open and just talk a little bit about prayer and my power. So I wasn't going to call my workers from our ministry. Hey, can you come over to my house? I'm not going to drive to the office. People were off for Christmas. So I flipped my laptop open, no microphone, which I hate how that sounds, where it's just somebody talking into it with like bad sound. And then me just on the laptop camera, like a bad work interview. And I just said, I typed in the title myself. It's the only time I ever did it. Hit record, adjusted the thing, and I said, hey, my name is Jonathan. I just felt to come on and talk to you about God and how you can access him through prayer. And then I find out for 2 years later, someone to tell you that's an Iraqi from the West Coast, that while you were sitting at your house in Pittsburgh and flipped that on, I watched that and decided not to kill myself. And our marriage is strong. Let me tell you the rest of what happened. You know that church I was at? Do you know how that church started? She told the rest of her Iraqi family about what had happened to her. And they all received Jesus Christ. Then their friends. And then they started to watch our church services on YouTube because Canada was locked down till like last Thursday. And so they couldn't go to church. So they're watching YouTube in the house. And then they found out, they heard me mention that my sister and brother-in-law pastor in Montreal and have a church in Canada. They reached out to them, started a church. My sister and brother-in-law sent a pastor over, and that's where I went to preach. So you go from a lady that was going to kill herself, four kids that were going to have no mother and a widower, to now a strong church. Because God's not just looking to deliver you. God will take your life and make the devil sorry he didn't kill you when he had the chance. Where you become a shining testimony that the devil doesn't have permission to write your future. You're only one prayer away from the power of God picking you up out of your pit and setting your feet on the rock to stay. If you believe it, can you say a strong California amen? Amen. Anyone who believes in him, anyone that wants to come to him must believe. So there it is, John 3:16, Hebrews 11:6. Believe. People want it to be more complicated than that. 10 classes, you can go to Spain and join a bunch of people and climb up steps on your knees till your knees bleed. You can whip your back. Some Christian churches, they feel like you have to do something. But the message is, Jesus came and did it already for you. I don't have to make my knees bloody. I don't have to beat my back. Jesus took my beating. Turn to Isaiah 53. Sorry to talk about Jesus so much. We'll talk about something else tomorrow. Isaiah 53. I really like Jesus. I liked him when I was a little kid. I liked all the stories about him. And I actually like him more now than I did when I was little. Isaiah 53. Who has believed our message? And to whom has the Lord revealed his powerful arm? Check that out. Who has believed Isaiah the prophet? He's a preacher. So any preachers wondered this. Who actually believes what I'm preaching? Maybe he was down a little bit. Who has believed our message? But look what's connected to it. And to whom has the Lord revealed his powerful arm? When Sandra decided not to slam her laptop shut and say, screw this guy, what does he know? Sitting there telling me about how the Bible's going to change my life. No, she could have done that, but she didn't. I believe. Bible says, who has believed our message? And to whom will the powerful right arm of the Lord be revealed? There is something about when you believe what the Bible says that it stretches God's power on your behalf. I see God's power being stretched on your behalf today in Jesus' mighty name. Verse 2, my servant grew up in the Lord's presence like a tender green shoot, like a root in dry ground. There was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance, nothing to attract us to him. He was despised and rejected. That's why the Bible says the Lord's very close to the brokenhearted. How many of you have ever felt despised or rejected? Even by your own family or whatever, like you've done nothing and people just don't like you for no reason. What, you know, the Bible says, well, Jesus gets that. Because one time they all picked up rocks to kill him. And he said something with Brooklyn, Boston sarcasm. He said, I've done many good works. For which one are you going to kill me for? I haven't said, Jesus never said one thing wrong. He treated everybody the best you could treat them. And the reward that he got was to get nailed to the cross. So when you're doing everything in your power right, and you're despised and rejected, that's why the Bible says we don't have a high priest who can't be moved by the feelings of our infirmities. Because he's not some ghost God up in heaven. He put on flesh. He knows what it's like to be spit on. He knows what it's like to be betrayed. Judas sold him for 30 pieces of silver. What would it be today? $20 a piece? 600 and some bucks that he took him out for? And Judas was with him for 3.5 years. He was despised and rejected. He can relate. A man of sorrows, acquainted with the deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised, and we did not care. Yet it was my weakness that he carried. I know it says R, but you get more benefit out of it if you realize you're one of the R's, and he did it for you. It was my weakness he carried. It was my sorrows that weighed him down. What does that mean, that Jesus carried our weakness? Sunday morning in church in Pittsburgh, my first and second grade teacher sits on the front row. I think she's in her 70s now. And I had her tell the crowd, because people probably think I'm just making stuff up or whatever. I always think that, because I used to think people were making stuff up. So when that's what it means, where you're weak, you're strong, because Christ took your weakness. When you come to him, he takes your weakness and gives you his strength. See, Sandra's not being prayed off that bridge once a week where the pastor's getting a call, Sandra's back on the bridge again. He removed our weakness and then gave us his strength. That's why the Bible says, I can do how many things? Because why? Christ gives you what? Strength. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So I had my teacher, I gave her the mic. I said, is it true or untrue that when I was your student, I had to miss recess twice a week to get speech therapy because there were 8 sounds in the alphabet I couldn't say? So you have an angel come to my room, right? God has set you aside to preach. Are you sure you have the right house? But the Bible says that God deliberately chooses the things the world finds foolish in order to shame those who are powerful. Why? So that no man can glory in his presence. It's very hard for you to get proud when you realize without God, you were nothing. But with God, you can do all things because he gives you strength. If you believe that strength is coming to you tonight, let God know that's why you're here. You didn't fight LA traffic for nothing. God has a miracle for you and your family tonight. Can you say amen? So she told the crowd when I handed her the mic, she said on her own, he was very hard to understand. As a boy, couldn't understand him really. And so when you have a weakness, people think that disqualifies them. Well, I got a lot of problems. So once I get everything figured out, I'm going to start coming to church. That's not what Jesus came for you to come just as you are. And then him to give you as a free gift, his life. You don't earn it. You believe it. God sees 2 colors, unbelief and faith. Everything is going to come down to those 2 things. There was a man who was blind that came behind Jesus in the crowd. And Jesus said, what would you like me to do for you? I'm giving you a picture of what Jesus is like, because the Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So when he said to that man, Jesus didn't say, what do you want? Would you leave me alone? What would you like me to do for you? You're never going to find anybody in the Bible that asked Jesus for anything. And he said, typical human beings always wanting healed instead of valuing spiritual things. Never. What would you like me to do for you? Say with me. What would you like me to do for you? Picture God in heaven asking you that right now. What would you like me to do for you? Because people think God's mad at him or they're a bother to God. People give this preamble to their prayers. God, I'm going to ask you one thing. And if you'll do this, I'll never talk to you again. I won't bother you. Would you like your child to say that to you? Listen, if you'll get me some Lunchables and a drink box, I'll never talk to you again. You actually want, God didn't send Jesus into the world just to save you. And then, okay, now you're going to heaven. Leave me alone. He did it to have a relationship with you. He loves to talk to you. I have a daughter. So maybe the only reason or one of the best reasons of having my daughter is it unlocked a part of me. When I was single or even when I was married, there was a depth of love I didn't understand till I had a child. And then when I had that child, Camila, I understand God now, and God gave children as an example. Matthew 7:11. If you fathers being evil know how to give good gifts to your children. Al Capone treated his child well. He was a criminal. He was a mean criminal. Beat people in the head with baseball bats. But when it came to his child, he bought him the best gifts. His child was born deaf and he felt bad about it and would spoil his child. So an evil man treated his child like gold. Jesus said, if you fathers that are evil, not meet the needs of the child. I don't tell Camila, listen, put a loincloth on and lay on the floor. I've met your needs. You have a roof. Don't bother me. A parent, a proper parent, is not looking to meet the needs of their child. They're looking to lavish their child with the best love that they have. Jesus said, if you fathers that are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, I'm not evil. How much more will your heavenly Father not meet the needs? Give good gifts to all who believe. You have scriptural grounds tonight to believe God for the best. What would you like me to do for you? Sir, I'm blind. I'd like to see. Jesus said, believest thou that I can make you to see? Do you believe I can make you see? He said, yes, Lord. He said, as your faith is, so be it unto you. No prayer, no anointing with oil, no long shaking of him, no rubbing anything in his eyes. Believest thou that I can make you to see? When he said yes, his eyes were open. When Sandra watched YouTube and said, I believe that. I believe that God's not the source of my problem. I believe he'll take me out of this problem. That day, she was turned around, and she's still turned around to this day, 2 years later. God is such a simple God that it takes a theologian to mess it up for you. You don't have to earn it. All you have to do is lift both hands and say, Lord, I believe, I believe. And when you do, his strong right arm is stretched out on your behalf. Yet it was our weakness he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion. He was crushed for our sins. He was beaten so that we could be whole. And by his stripes, we are healed. He did that for me. The second you realize from the Bible that he didn't come to get statues made of him and necklaces, he came for you. He came because the problems that are in this world are overwhelming for anybody. How in the world are you supposed to be a father in 2024 in natural power? How are you supposed to go to high school and university and with natural power in this day and age? You can't do it because the pressures of life are supernatural. They're too big. People can't take it. And so the answer is more medication. Pfizer, I was reading today, Pfizer paid no taxes. All their profits are offshore, and so they posted, you know, they game the system. No taxes. So there's medication. You talk to people, good luck finding an American that's not on any medication or medical marijuana. I don't even know why you have to buy marijuana anyway in California. Just go outside and breathe the air. Ever since they made that legal, or rent a car. You rent a car, you feel like you're at a Bob Marley concert. So people need marijuana. They need a pill to go to sleep. They need a pill to get up. They need something to get through the day. And instead of life being an abundant life, life becomes mere survival. I'm trying to make it to the end of the day. You're just on a speed run, medication run, trying to get from morning to night, trying to get through the day. Jesus didn't just say, check this now. And you're listening attentively. I don't know why I'm scolding you. He didn't just say, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He didn't just say, I came. He didn't say it, but I came that you can survive his attack. He said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I tell you in the name of Jesus, you're not only coming out of your problem tonight, you're going to have the best year that you've ever had. These remaining 9 months of 2024, God's going to pour out showers of blessing on you and your children in Jesus' mighty name. So let's rejoice and celebrate ahead of time. Let's take 30 seconds in this room and act like nutcases. Clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God. Come on, take 15 more seconds. Let it rip. You're going to have the best year that you've ever had. You're going to stick it in the face of the devil. Not by might, not by power. If you believe it, shout amen like thunder. You may be seated. You know, my wife told a testimony on Sunday, Adalys. She stopped drinking at age 15. That's usually when you start, not stop. You know, I've been hitting the bottle since I was 4. This is enough. And then her friends took her to a meeting like this. They're supposed to be going to a movie. They tricked her. They said, let's stop here first. And they forced her into a church service. She says she was angry and she got saved. She was having trouble. She was having trouble in school. I don't mean with her grades, the pressures and depression. Depression is not a normal part of life. It's an evil thing. Anybody that's been depressed can tell you that. And God has something for you. It's called joy. Everybody say joy. Joy. And so they took her to that church meeting. And the next thing she knew, she was going down to the altar to give her life to Jesus Christ. Well, that was years ago. And then now she was reading part of the Bible where Jesus said, I was in prison and you never visited me. And she realized she's never gone to prison to preach to anybody. So she signed up to go. And when she went, if I said the guy's name, everybody in the room would know who it is pretty much. It's one of the top cartel leaders, right-hand man. So if I said which cartel leader it is, you'd know. And it's his guy, and they're holding him in Pennsylvania to get him as far away from Mexico as possible so he can testify. And so he's in prison. So he came to that meeting where my wife was preaching. And the guards, that's how she knew who he was. The guard said, so-and-so's here. Do you know who that is? He never signs up to come to these. And then my wife said when everybody started talking, he had his head down and looked like, you know, if anything, he was going to be a problem. And then they had my wife speak that day. And that skinny Puerto Rican started telling about Jesus, and then she popped a couple of Spanish phrases in, and she said he jerked his head up. And then she talked about Jesus and how much he loves you. And that I'm actually here. Not only is God, if God hated you because you were in prison, why did he give a command for me to come in and visit the prisoners and preach the word to them? And so he starts nodding his head. She gives the altar call and he comes and bawled his eyes out. You're not allowed to hug, you're not allowed to touch the prisoners, and the prisoners aren't allowed to touch you. But I guess he missed orientation day. And he gave my wife a big hug and said, thank you. And then he was back. And then he was back the third week. Fourth week, when my wife went back, she's been going every week. Actually, that's the thing's growing so big now, they're going to have to start doing multiple meetings because there's too many people coming. Because when they came the second week, they said, you came back. Because if churches come, if they come at all, they come 1 week, kind of like, okay, I talked to these people once, so I did what you said, Jesus. But then when they came back, he said, you actually care about us. So they said, yeah. Well, the fourth week was Easter break. So all the people that normally go to prison ministry were on vacation, but they hadn't told each other. So my wife shows up to speak to the men's violent offenders wing, and it's all men and just my wife. And she goes in to preach, and there were no problems because her new best friend from the Matamoros drug cartel was sitting up beside her, smiling with his Bible. When you do what God said, it makes for a fun life. The joy of life is pouring yourself out to help other people. And that's what one of the things God's going to do this week is he's going to take people that were hanging on by a thread, barely making it, and a power is going to get a hold of you today. And you're not only going to have life more abundantly, that life's going to pour out of you into other people. And you're going to know the joy that I know on a daily basis of being a vessel. Do you hear what Sandra said? I not only don't ask people to say that, I wish they wouldn't say it, because I'm not trying to steer people to me. I used to not mind that when I was younger, because I wanted people to know I actually have a ministry. But if you make it about you, you never get any sleep. People need prayer all the time. I want people to know it doesn't have anything to do with me. But I did like what she said. I like that she said, I thank God for Jonathan being a vessel that God used. And that is what I am. I have nothing in me without Christ that can help anybody. But I'm not here without Christ. I'm in Christ. In him we live and move and have our being. I'm here in LA in Christ. I came here quickened by the Holy Spirit. So I know everybody that comes to these meetings every night, there's going to be people there that are like Sandra's, that they were convinced, yeah, I guess this works for some people, but it ain't working for me. And I don't know any way out. And God, the same way he lifted Sandra out, he's going to lift you out in Jesus' name. Get ready for the best Monday night that you've ever had. I don't see California going down. I see a people getting on fire for God in Southern California. I see that fire working its way up Interstate 5. I see the state that people think God is least likely to move in, being the first to usher in this great revival. So rejoice and be glad, for the Lord has given you the victory. I want to show you, now that I've talked on an individual level, before I pray for you, what happens when you gather like we're believing to happen before the week's over? I would, if I was a gambling man, if I could get odds on DraftKings, I would say today will be the lowest crowd we have, and it'll build from here. And then people start driving in from different states until it fills out like it did the last time we came in January. And so why? Why gather people? Because Jesus is coming soon. And you want to hit the most people possible, because there's what? I mean, they don't even know how many people are in the country now. 360 on record, 330, 360, 372. That's a lot. 372 million people. You hear people say, we need to reach them one by one. Not if you know math. You're not going to reach that many people one by one. You actually need to reach them about like 100,000 by 100,000. And I know I sound nuts talking like this in a hotel ballroom, but the day will come where people will realize that those stadiums in California and the arenas were not built for baseball and hockey and football teams. God used corporate money to build state-of-the-art buildings that will house the crowds that come to hear the gospel and experience the power of God before Christ returns. We're not going to watch it happen somewhere. God's going to use you to be a part of it in Jesus' mighty name. God hooked me up with probably the greatest evangelist on the planet right now. We became friends, very close friends, very quickly in the last year. And I've been heading out with him to Africa pretty often. Every time I go, I'm there for a few reasons. One, to help him and whatever he needs. But one of the reasons is I want to get a picture in my spirit of what and get what's required to see what's happening in Africa happen in America. When I play this video for you, I want you to see a picture of the future of what God has planned for America. I started off saying what the devil's will was and what God's will was. Let me close with saying what the devil's will is and what God's will is. It's the last days. Most people hear about last days. They think Antichrist, microchip in the hand, one world government, all that stuff. I mean, is stuff my dad used to preach about in Bible prophecy in the 1980s that make Christians go, I don't know about that. Now it's all openly discussed. It's almost over. But God also has a will in the last days. In the last days, saith God, not I'm going to try. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. In that day, I'll pour out my spirit on all my servants. On how many of my servants? Every last one of them. And they will prophesy. I'll cause wonders in the heavens, blood, fire, and clouds of smoke. The moon will turn blood red, and the sun will be turned to darkness before that great and glorious day of the Lord arrives. And anyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You're going to continue to watch this world's systems get shaken and come low, because anything that's built on sin is guaranteed to collapse. Hollywood's collapsing. And it's a sign. It's a sign that the strongest things that people thought were uncollapsible, anything that's not built on the word of God is built on sand, and its collapse is sure. But in the midst of that, there's going to be like another track that rises. There's two paths to walk. There's a broad way that leads to destruction, but there is a straight and narrow path that leads to everlasting life. You don't start walking it after you're dead. You can make a decision to start walking it now. And when you walk it, you'll never walk alone. You walk with Jesus beside you, with his power in you to do great and mighty things in Jesus' name. So I want to show you a picture. Don't see Africa. See America. Because God has the same will for every nation. It's just if he can find a group of people that will participate. I want to show you what I've seen on large scales. The last meeting I was in Liberia, Africa, with him, they rented the FIFA soccer stadium. And the whole thing, it was about 70% full on night one. By the end, it was completely packed. Every seat all around. Nobody was allowed to stand on the field because it's a FIFA regulation soccer field and they won't let people on. But it was as full as can be. To watch a whole section of a city lift their hands to give their life to Jesus Christ. People that have never heard the gospel. People that never heard Jesus saves. And I'm going to tell you something. You don't have to go to Africa to find people that have never heard the gospel. Go to aisle 2 in Walmart at 11 p.m. You can walk on the sidewalk. There's people, the whole world's here anyway. You don't even have to make a trip. The nations you would travel to go reach people, they're all here. They're all like literally right here at LAX, right here. Going on different flights. People from Sri Lanka. People from Pakistan. People from Somalia. And they, God loves every one of them. And he wants people to tell them. They don't have to, you know, one of the interesting things about traveling? Everything's the same. People are sad. People are lonely. People are depressed. People are convinced there's no way out. People have a child that's on drugs, even though they raised him the best they could. And the same problems that are all over the world have the same solution. One drop of the blood of Jesus destroys every hold of the devil. If you believe it, can you say amen? Amen. Watch this, and then I'm going to pray for everybody that would like prayer. Enjoy this. Let it get in your spirit.
With a shattered life, a teenage girl with a choice to make. It's crowded here in church today, and the preacher says as the sermon ends, please close your eyes, bow your heads. Is there anyone in need of prayer? Oh, Jesus wants to meet you here. 'Cause we all fall short, and we all have sinned. But when you let God's grace break in, it's beautiful, beautiful. Come as you are, surrender your heart, broken and beautiful. Well, he never been to church before. As a last resort, his world was crashing in, and he was suffocating in his sin. But tears rolled down, his hope rushed in. He closed his eyes, raised his hands, worshiping the God. Yeah.
God.
Oh God.
I am a sinner.
I am a sinner.
Oh Jesus.
Oh Jesus.
I know I am a sinner.
I know I am a sinner.
Tonight.
Tonight.
I come to you, Lord.
I come to you, Lord.
Just as I am.
Just as I am.
Oh God.
Oh God.
Please wash away my sins.
Please wash away my sins.
Make me a new person.
Make me a new person.
From today.
From today.
I receive you.
In 2004, the Healing Jesus campaign has been on a mission to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. What began as a small gathering of people has grown into one of the biggest evangelistic efforts in Africa. Over the years, evangelist Dag Hewitt-Mills and the Healing Jesus campaign have traversed the continent of Africa, impacting nations. The evangelist has been blessed with the opportunity to visit with various presidents of these nations, sharing with them the saving gospel of Jesus Christ.
Nowhere is too far, no city shall be too strong. You know, that's not some byline they hired consultants to write. That's in the Bible. God told his people, when you march, no city will be too strong for you. I'm telling you, San Francisco is going to find out it's not too strong for the gospel of Jesus Christ. L.A., San Diego, Fresno, Sacramento, California is going to find out that the love of God is stronger than the wickedness of sin, and the power that's loosed by faith is stronger than the power of the devil. Can you say amen? I want you to stand on your feet, everybody. Every hand lifted to the Lord, I want to pray for you. Then I'm going to give you an invitation for those of you that, like Sandra, need to have an encounter with God tonight. Your life's hanging in the balance. You say, I want God for me, for my family. That picture they put up of the president of Nicaragua, the whole purpose of that meeting, he was preaching, Bishop Dag from Ghana was preaching in Nicaragua. And the president called and said he'd like to meet with him. And the whole purpose was he wanted to give his life to Jesus Christ. You know what that shows you? Whether you're the head of a nation or you're a cartel guy in prison in Pennsylvania, it doesn't matter what your social standing is. Everybody needs Jesus. Everybody needs the life that comes from Christ. If they promoted you to the highest position in whatever company you work for, if you work at McDonald's and they took you from cash register operator to CEO of the company, that money and benefits package would not substitute for what only God's life can give to a person. I loved watching that lady. I don't know if you remember when they showed what was wrong with her throat. And she, that look that I've seen so many times of when God does a miracle for somebody and their eyes are just like in wonder. Like, I never thought I'd be free from this. I was supposed to carry this the rest of my life. It not only was it never supposed to get better, it was supposed to get worse. There's people like that tonight. You're battling something. If you do everything the therapist or doctor tells you to do, you can keep it the same. But there's no chance of you ever getting better. What's with all the wheelchairs getting stacked up? What's with all the people throwing their crutches away? I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And the life that's in God is greater than the decay of old age or accident or tragedy. There's nothing the devil has done to you that God can't do something about it tonight. If you would lift your hands. I thank you, Father, for the great people of California. I thank you for their lives. I thank you for their families. I thank you for the privilege to tell them your word tonight. As you drew them here divinely, whatever their problems are, whatever has gone wrong, whatever the enemy has convinced them that this is an irreversible situation, you're finished. You'll never shake this. You'll carry this with you your whole life. I pray that as they've heard your word tonight, and faith came from your word, and now is rising in them, that I don't have to accept this diagnosis. I don't have to accept what men have told me. I can reach out to God and say, I believe in you. Believest thou that I can make you see? I believe you. I believe you, God, that you'll touch me today. I saw in the Bible that you're a rewarder. You don't help people survive. You're looking to reward people that will serve you. And I need that reward. I want that reward. I desire it. And that's why I'm here. I pray every person that's crossed that bridge in their heart tonight, Lord, that you would show them that you're an unfailing, faithful God that does miracles for people. Do mighty miracles for people today. In Jesus' mighty name, every irreversible family situation, every addiction, I pray the reach of this meeting would go out beyond even the people that are here, that when they come back to their home, the life and light of Christ would start to overwhelm darkness that's even in the house. In Jesus' name, I thank you for it and I give you praise. I give you praise in advance. Thank you for moving even right now. Thank you for lifting heavy burdens right now. Thank you for destroying the yoke of bondage because of the anointing now. In Jesus' name. Every head bowed, every eye closed, you can put your hands down. If you're here tonight, and like my wife that got dragged to that meeting in Massachusetts with no intention of ever having anything to do with church again, not because she was an outsider, but because she grew up in a dead religious church that was mean to people. That's what Jesus dealt with. He didn't like, Jesus was very kind to sinners and very mean to religious people. He said, you take this word that was meant to set people free and you turn it into a weight that people are unable to bear. He didn't like them. And that's what my wife had been around. Then when she went to that church, which is interesting, the guy that was preaching that night was a Bible college classmate of my father. And then we ended up getting married years down the road, never knew each other, didn't live anywhere near each other. It's amazing how everything's connected in the spirit. God turned her life around. And God wants to turn... Yeah, I misspoke. God actually doesn't want to turn your life around. He wants to take your old life and bury it and give you a brand new life. If you remember old VHS tapes, if your life was a VHS tape, God's not looking to take it and erase it and re-record. He'll give you a brand new track. The old life is dead. All things become new. Can you say amen? If you're here and out of humility, it's the reason God hates the sin of pride most. Pride would keep you in your seat when you need to be at the altar. Pride would make you wonder what other people are going to think about you instead of what God approves of. So you have to, that's the last hurdle that has to go down. I don't care what people think. Caring what people thought likely is what got you in whatever mess you were in anyway. I don't care what people think. I care what God thinks. I care what His Word says. And I make a decision tonight. I'm going to receive the best that God has for me. If you're here tonight, you say, Jonathan, if I was honest with you, I'm collapsing under the load of sin. Something happened early in my life that messed me up, put me on a wrong track. I never knew any of this before, or I never knew it like this. Or maybe you knew it, but you weren't ready. But now your pride's gone and you're ready to come forward. Jonathan, I need God's help. And I believe Him. When it says in Isaiah 53, who has believed our message? And to whom is the strong right arm of the Lord revealed? God doesn't care what your background is. God doesn't care how much you've done wrong. He cares whether you believe Him. When you believe Him, it's counted as righteousness unto you. And He'll pull you out of wherever you are and put you on a different path. If you say, Jonathan, I know God brought me here tonight, like He brought your wife to that church in Massachusetts, to hear the Word, to give me a chance to believe. And I'm not throwing this chance away. I'm going to take this Monday, April 15th, and for the rest of my life, April 15th won't be tax day for me. It'll be the day that the devil and I parted company, and a new life began in Jesus Christ. If you're here and you need to do that tonight as a sign to God and a sign to me, and I'm going to pray for you. I want you to quickly put your right hand up to the Lord as a sign I'd like prayer. I came here to be praying. You keep your hand up. God bless you. I see you. And there's more still going up. Dam's breaking. That's awesome. That's awesome. I'm so happy. Praise God. The Bible says, Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father that's in heaven. But if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father that's in heaven. That's where altar calls were birthed out of. The great preachers that shook America. That's why they didn't tell people to scan a QR code on the screen and join a discipleship class. They had them first stand. Coming out of the crowd and making a stand will do something on the inside of you. It's something you're going to do the rest of your life. I don't care what the crowd's doing. I'm going to make a stand. Everyone that lifted their hand, you won't be standing alone because I'm going to pray with you. We're not going to hold you long. We're not going to do anything weird. We're going to pray together. We're going to complete what God brought you here for. If you lifted your hand and meant business with God, those of you with more courage, come first. It'll help those that are a little more shy. But everyone that lifted a hand, come out of your seat and join me at the altar right now. We're going to pray. Come right now. Tonight's your night. You can come with a friend. You don't have to come alone, but come. This is your night. I want to surrender my life to Jesus Christ. Go ahead. Keep clapping. Welcome them. This is awesome. Welcome to the family of God. Anybody else before we pray? Sing it one time, Sister Clarita. Go ahead. Every hand lifted to the Lord.
To you I belong.
Thank you, Jesus.
I give myself to you. Oh, yeah. My life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself to you.
Those of you that came forward, you made my night. Now let God make your night. Lift both hands to the Lord. Say this powerful prayer from your heart. I'm going to give you the words to say because some people have never prayed. But this is not a recital. You're talking to a living God. Say this out loud. Heavenly Father, I give you my life. I turn my back on sin. I repent. I believe in my heart you raised Jesus from the dead. I confess with my mouth, Jesus is Lord and my Savior. Right now, I receive forgiveness by the blood of Jesus. I am saved. I am forgiven. I am clean. In Jesus' name, amen. Keep your hands lifted and let me pray for you. I bless you in the name of Jesus. The same way God helped me live for Him, the grace to live for God in a world that celebrates wickedness, receive that grace, the last backward step you ever took will be the last backward step you ever take. In Jesus' name. And unlike last night, I feel to say a second thing. There's a scripture where Paul told the Philippian jailer, you and your house will be saved. Every family that's represented at this altar, every family that's represented beyond this altar, I loose the grace of God, the power of God's Spirit, to gather every scattered and broken family. That not only will you make heaven, there won't be one member of your family not standing with you when you go. Whatever the devil's done to destroy your family, it reverses tonight. In Jesus' name. Now, think of this with me. Whoever the worst person is in your family, I bet you that guy from the cartel at the prison in Pittsburgh, they probably thought, well, I bet you most of my family could get saved, but he's a goner. And then somebody got a phone call from him that he got saved. And I'm going to Bible study. And I met a Puerto Rican that's preaching to me in Spanish. I gave my life to the Lord. I mean, imagine how frustrated the devil must be. I did everything in my power. I even got this guy where nobody, up in rural Pennsylvania, where nobody speaks any Spanish. And in comes my wife as a skillful assassin to destroy the devil's work. There's nobody that God can't turn their life around. Amen. Lift your hands one more time. I pray that the one that you think is the hardest one to reach in your whole family, that'll be the first domino to fall. In Jesus' name. If you believe it with me, say amen. I want to say to every one of you at the altar, welcome to the family of God. Your sins are all forgiven. Your name's written in heaven. You can genuinely lay your head on your pillow tonight and know you have peace with God. Whatever happens, I have a home in heaven. And that's for real. These nice ladies that are over here holding these books for me, before you go back to your seat, I want to give you a Bible and some other materials to help you live the Christian life. And then I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for everybody that wants prayer tonight. I won't start without you. But please, before you go back to your seat, head that way and grab those materials as a gift from me. And I welcome you to the family of God. Amen. Go ahead. You can head that way. Go ahead. Give them a warm hand clap. Welcome them to the family of God. Awesome. Give Jesus a great hand clap one more time. Come on. Give the Lord Jesus Christ a great Los Angeles hand clap. Somebody shout hallelujah. Well, say it out loud. There's nothing the devil's done to me that God can't do something about it. And so what we're going to do is I'm going to pray with that in mind. If you're looking for somebody to pray that God gives you peace in the storm, you're in the wrong meeting. I'm going to pray that the same way God immediately delivered Sandra from that spirit of suicide and immediately delivers people from addiction and anger and all those things, cancer, whatever the devil put in your life, whatever came to steal, kill, and destroy, that the power of the blood of Jesus Christ to give life and life more abundantly is going to drive that thing out permanently in Jesus' name. How many of you believe that with me? Nobody is forced to receive prayer. But if you'd like prayer, I'm happy to pray with as many people as would like prayer tonight. So if you'd like prayer, I'm going to have you come out of your seat, just line straight across the front, shoulder to shoulder. And as you line up, once you get lined up, I'm going to pray for you. Don't get behind anybody. Don't get in front of anybody. Shoulder to shoulder, all the way across the front. I can get everybody in one line. Go ahead as they're lining up. You can sing something praiseful. What's that one that we've been singing on the road? Praise. Now, while everybody's lining up, enter into the anointing on this song, and then we're going to pray. How many of you can tell God, the battle's already going in your favor in Jesus' name? Go ahead. Oh, no internet. Why would you say you're sorry? Did you wire the building for internet and messed it up? Why would I ever blame my friend Tony for anything? No problem. Every hand lifted to the Lord. There's no internet. The Sheraton Gateway Hotel was wired by the Amish. They've been a running theme tonight. Every hand lifted to the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, I guess I can skip the little speech about you don't have to have prayer if you don't want. It seems like everybody in California wants prayer. Every hand lifted to the Lord. In the name of Jesus, when I lay hands on you tonight, I loose God's power to destroy every yoke of bondage and to lift every heavy burden. Any court case you have hanging over your head, whether it's criminal or somebody suing you, I command the thing to go in your favor from tonight as a blessing for coming to church. In Jesus' name. I know this is a hotel, but for this week it's a church. In Jesus' name. Every disease of the blood, every disease of the central nervous system, every wicked thing that the enemy's tried to attach to your life, I command it to be pulled out by the root tonight. In Jesus' name, I thank you and give you praise. I give you honor. I give you glory. Lift your hands if you would. Just enter and let the Lord touch you. If you stand, I know this is new to a lot of people, but if you stand like you're waiting for a roller coaster, you don't get much. If you lift your hands, the Bible says, I would that your men lift holy hands unto God without wrath or doubting, and enter in with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. If you open your heart and just begin to kind of engage God even before I get to you. Father, don't say, please heal me. Please help me. Say, just assume the sale. Thank you for healing me. Thank you for helping me. Thank you for touching my body. Thank you for restoring my home. Because God is willing. You don't have to wonder if he's willing. You don't have to beg and plead. He came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Say this out loud. Tonight, I receive the power of God into my body, into my mind, into my spirit. Everything that's wrong, I receive a miracle to make it right. I go home tonight totally free, totally healed, totally delivered. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for sharing the Jonathan Shuttlesworth podcast. If you're interested in supporting our mission to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to our generation, please visit revivaltoday.com and click on Give Now to become one of our monthly partners. Thank you in advance. We hope to see you soon.